Amen. Dona nobis pacem. Lord, give us peace. Another preacher reworded these words from Isaiah this way. He said, "The day will come when howitzer tanks will be converted into John Deere tractors to plow fields. Guns will be used to build the fences on which the grapevines can grow. We'll turn the missile silos into wheat silos and make the Pentagon into the world's largest food court." Now, is that possible? Or is the prophet daydreaming, hoping against hope that something like this can happen? Or is this just another utopian dream, something that will never take place in the real world that we know? But if that's true, why can't that happen? What's wrong with us? Is there something wrong in the way we're made, in our biology? Or do we lack social institutions that can help us to make such peace? Evolutionary scientists do tell us that, yes, we are conflicted, and our genes, they do make us war, to fight, to struggle. But is conflict all there is to it, to us and to the nature? Or is peaceful cooperation a possibility, a biological possibility? Of course, in the Bible, Apostle Paul suggests another model for us to think about. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul teaches that through the sharing of the bread of Christ and through baptism, we Christians become one body. And he wants us to hold on to that image of us as one body, because a body, you know, is made up of many interdependent parts. There is not a part that you can kick out, or a body part can say, "I quit." Because we are body, Apostle Paul says, our world can be a diverse community, a global body. Each part, yes, different from each other, yet everyone is essential to it. So this truth is to be found not only in the Bible, but in the world of nature. Here are two examples. Mushrooms spring up from a network of tiny tubes in the ground. Nuclei, the little sacs in the cell where the genes are found, these nuclei shuttle back and forth through those tubes. In eastern Oregon, there's a 2,400-acre site where there is one continual growth of these underground mushroom tubes. And these tubes are estimated to be 2,200 years old. So imagine this one living organic being that is so huge, made up of a million parts, but interrelated and living together. Or on the coastal plains of Hokkaido, Japan, there is a super colony of red wood ants. They found something like 300 million worker ants and a million queen ants living together in 45,000 interconnected nests in this 1 square mile area. Huge colony. Of course, scientists do tell us that there is some conflict within these mushrooms and also in these ant colonies, but they seem to have worked it out, and they are flourishing. They are learning to live together. Well, what about us, we human beings? Are we fated to destroy ourselves in unending wars and rumors of wars? If the mushrooms and the ants can do it, can we human beings do it together? learning to subsume our individual desires and wishes for the larger good, for the common good. Are there such stories of peace to be found? Let me offer you one story of Bill Morse and his wife, Jill. In 2003, this young couple were getting ready for retirement in Palm Springs, California. They had done well in life, and they were ready. But then they happened to hear the story of a Cambodian man named Aki Ra. And his story changed their lives and turned them into peacemakers on their own. We know the story of Cambodia and how Khmer Rouge, this Maoist communist group, ruled Cambodia in the 1970s. Under their rule, something like 1.7 million people were killed, massacred. In 1979, Vietnam liberated Cambodia and became an occupational force. The Khmer Rouge fled northwest, and they started their own insurgency. And for 20 years, both the Khmer Rouge and the Cambodian government began to lay down landmines to protect themselves. In the process, they put down 5 million landmines in the countryside of Cambodia. They were using boys who are 11 years old to lay these mines down. And of course, every year, people would know where they were, and children got maimed, people were killed. Almost every year, over 1,000 people were harmed that way. Bill Morse and his wife, Jill, were living in Palm Springs, and they heard from a friend who had visited Cambodia and came back and said, "Well, give us $100. We know this man who is going around Cambodia with a stick and some pliers diffusing these landmines. His name is Aki Ra, and he was one of these 11-year-old boys who had put down these landmines in the war. But as he grew up, he became so guilt-ridden, and he wanted to do penance. So he just picked up the stick and the plier and went around the country defusing these landmines." Well, Bill and Jill heard about this man, and they became fascinated. So they went to Cambodia, looked for him, and finally found him. And long story short, they decided to help this man, Aki Ra. Together with a team of young Cambodians, Aki Ra and Morse now run the new Landmine Museum. We opened in 2008. They have a shelter for 37 disadvantaged kids. They started the Cambodian self-help demining, a team of 30 professional deminers. Bill Morse says, "I can't end war or bring world peace, but I can do something here, right now, and right here. I can make a difference." He and his wife, Jill, moved to Cambodia in 2009, and decided they would spend the rest of their life becoming peacemakers for the children of Cambodia. Moore says that he once asked Aki Ra when he stopped what he was doing. "He looked at me like I was stupid," he says. Aki Ra said, "When my country is safe again. When my country is safe again. When there is peace for all people," he said, "I will stop." I can go on listing many people around us who are signs of peace, who are telling us that we don't have to be always selfish, living only for ourselves, but that we can go beyond what our biology might tell us and see the larger picture of the common good for which we can work together. That we can begin to change us and this world culture by living according to the way God has programmed us. on Palm Sunday, March 31st, 1968, Martin Luther King preached for the last time at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., a few weeks before he was assassinated. In that church, he preached, "It is no longer a choice, my friends, between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence. I believe today that there is a need for all people of goodwill to come with a massive act of conscience and say, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, we ain't going to study war no more." Well, how do we study war no more? We can start by doing what the prophet Isaiah tells us. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Prophet Isaiah did not have his head up in the clouds. He knew about wars and rumors of wars. Yet he calls upon the people of faith to start living as if these promises of God are true and will come true in this world. And we have good teachers in the mushrooms, in the red wood ants, and people like Bill Moores, who teaches and encourages us to be peacemakers wherever we are, in our homes, in our congregation, in our society. Others may still choose to fight, but the people of God can resolve to walk in the light of the promises contained in these dreams of God for us, a people who are training for peace. So we come today to this table set out for us by Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And we come today to pray for that peace which passes all understanding, that this peace may grow in our hearts, and somehow we in our own ways will find expression of making this peace real in the world around us. We come today to take this first step toward peace, to recognize that we are one body in Christ, one world, one people, where we all belong, where no one is discounted, where no one is kicked out, where we can all contribute in the unique way that each one of us are made. Then we arise from this table to go to make peace in the world. So in the light of Isaiah, we can sing, O come Emmanuel, bless each place your people dwell. Melt every weapon crafted for war. Bring peace upon the earth forevermore. Rejoice, rejoice. Take heart and do not fear. God's chosen one, Emmanuel, draws near. Thanks be to God for this good news that has come and now comes to us again in this Advent season. Amen.